Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Values Institute, and it features Nick Yaka of the Yaka Law Firm, LLP, here in Orange County, California. Nick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Bill, and thank you for having me here, and our firm's very pleased to be represented here on your show.
It's my pleasure to have you, and thank you very much for coming in. And you work with all kinds of corporate governance and mergers and acquisitions and public offerings, a lot of things that our listeners would be interested in. But before we get into that, could you just share a little bit of your professional background?
Well, sure. I'd be glad to do that. I'm a Californian, like everyone else. I wasn't born there, but lived there most of my life. So when I was 2 years old and came to California, I didn't know anywhere else. And I've been here pretty much all my life. When I went to college back on the East Coast, I got a little flavor of somewhere else, but I drifted right back. Our California environment is very nice, and it's been a tremendous place to be. Our firm started in 2000. I had been with my father's firm, Stradling Yaka Carlson and Routh, headquartered in Newport Beach. And during those years, working with Dad, I had worked on some deals that were very, very large, and took me around the country, down to Louisiana for an oil deal, Colorado, Massachusetts I went to, Florida, various various places where we needed to go to do our deals. And for that 15 years, I did quite a few public offerings, mergers, and took that same practice and brought it to a smaller venue with my brother, who's a litigator. And my brother had experience with a large Los Angeles firm and then with the Three Stooges production company as an in-house general counsel. And then he came down to Orange County, and when he did, he and I teamed up. We work with the local companies, and we feel their pain.
Mm-hmm. And do you work with all kinds of companies, or do you have a specific industry that you tend to gravitate to, or what's your practice preferences?
Well, we don't treat clients different depending on their industry. We want our clients to come from all industries, really.
Gives you diversity in your practice, right?
Yes, we aren't going to limit ourselves to the high-tech field, although we know it well because we've got many clients in Orange County that are high-tech. Mm-hmm. We also deal with financial institutions, regulated industries like broker-dealers. We work with lenders, mortgage brokers, food, other sorts of retail products. We're unlimited.
Pretty wide variety, and size of companies doesn't matter either?
It ranges. We've got clients that are in the Fortune 100, and we have clients that are not quite on the map yet.
What's a good first step with a client that you see? What's one of the first things that they come to you for? Is it just all over the map?
Oh, quite often we get them at the point when they're raising money. Mm-hmm. So we've done about 5 or 6 PPMs in the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
We do financings, and then quite often we work with the company then until their exit.
Okay. So the first step for a company that wants to raise money is to visit with you and create a private placement memorandum. Is that right?
They could, sure.
And then that's distributed, and that's how they would raise money to capitalize?
Well, that's been typical. Mm-hmm. We see new ways of doing things that are a little different, like Kickstarter fits for some of the clients, and other similar sorts of platforms are good or better for different clients. Sometimes those just wouldn't be suitable, but on occasion they work, and they're a little non-traditional, so it's nice to be able to give an idea to someone who maybe didn't think of it. Mm-hmm. But when they come to us and they have their heart set on a private placement, we can certainly help them in all kinds of ways. And as you know, the internet is now open game for private placements. So we're seeing more companies using 506C, which is the private public offering. So it's public sort of in the manner of the way the offering is conducted. It's on the internet. It could be in radio. It could be on the newspapers. It could be on TV. But it's private in the sense that it doesn't have to be registered with the SEC, and so the cost is where a private offering was.
What are the ramifications or the parameters for that type of an offering? Or what size do you have to be under, or number of investors? Or
well, yes, the key is finding accredited investors and not selling to the unaccredited. Okay. The accredited investor standard is basically $1 million in net worth or $200,000 a year of income. Mm-hmm. Those standards, though, have been there for a long time and may change. That provides a very, very broad audience for these companies. So when they go through angel groups locally, they can see hundreds, but actually thousands of investors are out there chomping at the bit to climb onto a really good startup company.
Sure. So as long as your investor is of a certain size and net worth and meets that accredited investor term, then it's kind of open game now as far as finding them and getting them to invest.
That's right.
A whole different world.
That's right. But it is very important with the new thing like this that one consult a lawyer, because it can't be done without a series of steps. A filing has to be made, a second filing has to be made, the steps have to be taken, and then the offering starts afterward. So it has to be done properly. But many, many securities lawyers are capable of helping your broad audience, and certainly they are welcome to call us.
Wonderful. We're talking with Nick Yaka, the owner of the Yaka Law Firm, and when we come back, we're going to ask you for maybe some client stories and some tips and ideas and precautions for our listeners so that they can be well planned. And we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel for The Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your managers should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill Blackfield, The Exit Coach. It's not often I get a chance to endorse a good friend and outstanding professional like Brad Hall. Here's a testimonial from their website. The Hall and Company staff have a great knowledge and understanding of tax issues, which provides an invaluable level of comfort. Hall and Company CPAs and advisors are committed to providing the highest quality professional services and guidance. For information and a free consultation, call Brad Hall at 949-910-4255. Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we have interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com, or you can find us on iTunes. I'm talking with Nick Yaka of the Yaka Law Firm. And Nick, before the break, that was some great information about the new frontier for raising capital. Let me ask you about another question that we get a lot from our listeners, who are typically age 50-plus business owners and have been doing it a long time, and they're thinking they'd like a change in their lives, and maybe one of those changes is moving to another state where taxes aren't so onerous. So could you give us a good idea of how someone would sell their company and then could have their more money, you know, in their lives after moving out, and what all is entailed with that?
Well, I think you see a number of people selling their companies after having moved to Nevada for about a year and a half. The tax savings on some of the sales more than pays for the home, which makes it sort of attractive. Nevada, not the only state, but a good one to discuss because it's so close to us. The lifestyle is nice, and certain places to live there is very comparable to California. So families are sort of attracted to it. And usually for the owner, it's not just a personal decision, but it affects family. It may affect children in school and so forth.
Of course.
So they look at the their options, and they see that when they're ready to cash in, there's no capital gains in a state like Nevada, and they look at, well, how could they possibly have a California company and be in Nevada and pay no state-level capital gains tax, saving, you know, essentially 10% right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they see it's not that hard to do. It just takes time and creating some attachments there, and then cutting your trips to California down to about one day out of the week.
So you should start thinking about this
well ahead of time.
Well ahead, but that the rule of thumb is a year and a half of residence, right?
Right.
Is that the rule of thumb?
That's right.
And because California doesn't even recognize capital gains treatment.
Well, you're at the top incremental tax rate in California, obviously. You're not getting a break like you do on the federal level at all. So you're paying the 13.9% that a top earner can make if you're selling a business for over $1 million. Your income that year in California is putting you at a very, very high rate of tax.
So that's what you mean by it pays for the house. If you have a $5 million sale, right,
yes,
and you're at 13%, let's just say it's north of $500,000.
You can get a palace for $500,000.
That's right. And you can even afford the air conditioning.
There are various things to think about, and people shouldn't jump into anything, and should plan it in a very organic, cohesive way, including in it their employees. If they want the employees to also move. Not necessary to do that, but if they wish to grow and expand to a state with lower taxes or a friendlier business environment, such as Nevada, but certainly not limited to it. There's Texas and Tennessee are very nice, and other states. I have clients that also went to Louisiana for various reasons, and there can be a lot of different reasons to relocate. And if that plays itself into your tax plans and your estate plans, all the better.
Yeah, and there are a number of people that we talk to that might be getting a pension plan or something along those lines.
Sure.
And if they repatriate to another state as well, they could save all that tax money on those distributions,
yes,
as well, right?
And we all remember when California tried to tax the pensions of,
right,
retirees who had moved out of state, and they were not able to do it. And the ultimate result is that your pensions are portable and can be moved somewhere with no tax, and that effectively could increase the pension for you 10% right out of the box.
Now, what's another reason to be in Nevada? I hear a lot about Nevada, and their LLC treatment is a little bit more friendly to the owner of the LLC than in, say, for instance, California, for asset protection purposes. Do you hear that as well, or?
Yes, that where you form your LLC does matter, and where you operate your LLC does matter. Even if you have an LLC and you're in an environment where the litigation has gone a little bit overboard, like here in California, our Prop 65 litigation is driving people crazy, and regardless of efforts by the legislature to curtail it, it's not been seriously curtailed. So it's a nuisance for shop owners, and it's about $15,000 nuisance for a shop owner. And those kinds of regulations start coming up more and more. You have to be careful if you're in an industry that's heavily dependent on electricity. You have to be, because of Prop 39 and what we see coming down the road there. You have to be careful of anything that's environmentally sensitive because you're being regulated out of the state. But with your question as to your best asset protection, we can find your best asset protection in odd places. Forming an Alaska LLC isn't a bad thing either. Mm-hmm. Nevada is certainly a good LLC state. California is not terrible, but the environment here makes it a little bit dicey with the state kind of. Our judiciary and the judiciary in Nevada, if you were to compare them side by side, you have much more of a plaintiff's bar tilt in California and less in a Nevada.
So the important consideration for people that are saying, okay, I've built it up, now I'm getting ready to think about my retirement, and now I'm going to be maybe a cash-based investor, kind of a sitting duck for asset protection purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So residency and how you establish that receptacles and barriers and
where asset protection is the key, we sometimes would steer toward Florida, where your homestead exemption is $1 million, and so your asset protection can be that much stronger. But I did mention Alaska; they have terrific asset protection. So it kind of depends on what your preferences are, and it can be found in within the structure. But if you were highly concentrated in California, which has the environment it does, you might think about diversifying just to get some of your assets elsewhere.
Well, okay, so the point I guess we're getting at here is that for business owners that really want to get up to date on what the best structures might be for their future, they're not locked into California. They should talk with someone like yourself who knows the ins and outs of the different structures that are out there in the different states. And if you're thinking about maybe, you know, maybe we should relocate before we sell this big business asset here, and we might be able to buy a house with the tax savings. I think that's the tip of the day right there. So we're gonna wrap up, Nick, but I want to ask you one question. How do people get in touch with you?
Our office is right near John Wayne Airport. They're welcome to come by. We'd love to meet with them. We regularly meet with new potential clients, no charge. Love to have a chat, have a cup of coffee, and just see you and see if we have some ideas that might help you out. Our phone number is 949-253-0800. We can be reached anytime. And again, my name's Nick Yocca. You can ask for me.
And that's Y-O-C-C-A, right?
Yes.
And is your website, is it yocca.com?
You bet.
Okay, I got it. And Nick, thanks very much for the time today. I learned a lot, actually, from talking with you, and it's hopefully very interesting for our listeners and guests. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this moment.
Thank you, Bill.
What can you do in a minute? At exitcoachradio.com, you can listen to a daily tip, idea, or precaution from over 100 top advisors about how to prepare your business for the future. We upload new one-minute tips at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. daily. exitcoachradio.com. Come listen for a minute. Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.